viewer behind you and say, where are you going for Adult Bible Fellowship? I'd like to go with you today. We're in the midst of a series of messages on discovering our place in God's story. As been mentioned by Pastor Joe and by our elder John Ferris, we're reading through the Bible in a chronological fashion in the course of this year, 365 days in the scripture, reading how God worked first in creation and then in the redemption of humankind, that we might know him and enjoy him both now and forever. And so we're looking at the scriptures, and on Sunday mornings we're looking at individuals or people in the Bible to discover their place in the story. Today we're not looking at one particular person. We're looking at a group of people who are a tribe in the nation of Israel, the tribe of Levi. We're looking at the Levites and the Levites' place in God's story. And we're looking in particular today at Numbers chapter 8. In your worship folder, you should have an outline for the service or for the sermon, and that'll serve you well. As I don't have PowerPoint today, my apologies. Someone earlier, I think it was Buffalo, was asking if Carol was the contact person for the women's conference on Friday, March 17th, and then on Saturday, March 18th, and Carol didn't answer. I answered. I said, yes. And that's because Carol's not with us today. Carol is in Chicago with Elizabeth, and the most recent word is that contractions are 8 minutes apart. So that maybe is too much information. But Elizabeth told me to have my phone with me so she could let me know. And I said, well, I won't be looking at it until we're done. But so Carol's with Elizabeth today, and I'm with you. And we're going to consider the Levites' place in God's story. So turn with me to Numbers chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you can look at the Pew Bible. And in the Pew Bible, it's page, I'll tell you in a second, it's page 113 in my Pew Bible. And if you have a different edition of the Pew Bible, that should be fairly close. And you can find Numbers chapter 8. And I'm going to begin by reading God's Word, Numbers chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. This is the consecration of the Levites to the service of the Lord in the tabernacle. So let's hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, take the Levites from among all the Israelites and make them ceremonially clean. To purify them, do this. Sprinkle the water of cleansing on them, then have them shave their whole bodies and wash their clothes. You didn't know that waxing was in the Bible, did you? And so they will purify themselves. Have them take a young bull with its grain offering of the finest flour mixed with olive oil. Then you're to take a second young bull for a sin offering. Bring the Levites to the front of the tent of meeting and assemble the whole Israelite community. You're to bring the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites are to lay their hands on them. And Aaron is to present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the Israelites, so that they may be ready to do the work of the Lord. Then the Levites are to lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, using one for a sin offering to the Lord, and the other for a burnt offering to make atonement for the Levites. Have the Levites stand in front of Aaron and his sons, and then present them as a wave offering to the Lord. In this way, you are to set the Levites apart from other Israelites, and the Levites will be mine. After you have purified the Levites and presented them as a wave offering, they are to come to do their work at the tent of meeting. They are the Israelites who are to be given wholly to me. I've taken them as my own in place of the firstborn, the first male offspring from every Israelite woman, every firstborn male in Israel, whether human or animal, is mine. When I struck down all of the firstborn in Egypt, I set them apart for myself, and I have taken the Levites in place of all of the firstborn sons in Israel. From among all of the Israelites, I have given the Levites as gifts to Aaron and his sons to do the work at the tent of meeting on behalf of the Israelites and to make atonement for them so that no plague will strike the Israelites when they go near the sanctuary. Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community did with the Levites just as the Lord commanded Moses. The Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them as a wave offering before the Lord and made atonement to purify them. And after that, the Levites came to do their work at the tent of meeting under the supervision of Aaron and his sons. They did with the Levites just as the Lord commanded. And the Lord said to Moses, "This applies to the Levites. Men 25 years old or more shall take part in the work at the tent of meeting, but at the age of 50 they must retire from their regular service and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. This then is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites." Now, what I would like us to gain in terms of understanding, first of the Levites' place in the Lord's service, and then our place in the Lord's service, has to do with what took place setting apart the Levites to serve the Lord. We have moved in the story of God's people in the book of Genesis from man and woman made in the image of God and set in paradise in the Garden of Eden with one prohibition: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will die. And man and woman ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it was desirable for food and desirable for making them wise. In a sense, they were wanting to be more like God, which is kind of silly since God had already said, "You're made in my image." And so how, by disobeying God, would they be more like God, knowing good and evil? And then the day they ate of it, they died, and they were put out of the Garden of Eden, and now we're into the story of redemption. And God sets apart a man. His name is Abram. And in Genesis 12, he says concerning this man, "Through you and your descendants, I am going to bless all the peoples, all the families of the earth." And God gave him this word when he was age 75 and without children. At the age of 99, his wife Sarah, who was 89, conceived a son. And Isaac was born to him at age 100. God had done the impossible, because God is a man of his word. And God wanted Abram and Sarah to know that what he had done was done by him and not by them. And through this son of promise, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And God's hand is on Jacob. He sets Jacob apart, and Jacob has 12 sons, and it is these 12 sons who will go with Jacob, a family, extended family of 70, to Egypt for 400 years and be brought out in the Exodus as a nation, as a people, 2 million plus. 12 tribes from 12 sons. One of Jacob's sons is named Levi. And his descendants are the Levites, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And today we discover their place in the Lord's service. And as we look at their place in the Lord's service, we understand our place in the Lord's service. And so the preposition for today is that you and I should follow the example of the Levites in serving the Lord for three reasons. The first reason that we should follow the example of the Levites in serving the Lord is this: like them, we too belong to the Lord. They are set apart to serve the Lord because the Lord declares they belong to me. The process of setting them apart is in this passage, and in verse 9 we see that the Levites are to be brought to the front of the tent of meeting, to the front of the tabernacle, and as the whole community of Israel is to gather. And with all of the 12 tribes of Israel gathered at the tabernacle, and the Levites at the front of the tent of meeting, verse 10, the Lord says that the Israelites are to lay their hands on their brothers. There are over 20,000 Levites over the age of 20 at this time. And they are gathered in front of the tabernacle, and the whole rest of their extended family, 12 tribes, gathers around them and puts their hands on them. The significance of the laying on of hands is one of identification. The people of Israel are identifying the Levites as set apart by God for a work of service in the tabernacle. The people of God recognized the Lord's claim on the firstborn sons. They recognized that he had redeemed all of God's people out of Egypt, and at that time declared that the firstborn of every family was his, to be set apart to him. Now God is saying, I'm going to take the whole tribe of Levi as a substitute for all the firstborn sons. So that as we go forward, you're not having to think about, well, every firstborn son needs to be sent to the tabernacle to be in the service of the Lord. No, now it's one tribe and all the descendants of Levi who will serve in the tabernacle. And notice what the Lord says in Numbers chapter 8 at verse 16. He says, the Israelites who are to be given wholly to me, the firstborn, I've taken them as my own, now the Levites, in place of the firstborn, the first male offspring from every Israelite woman. For every Israelite male in Israel, whether human or animal, is mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set them apart for myself, and I've taken the Levites in place of all the firstborn sons in Israel. Back in Exodus chapter 11, Moses appeared before Pharaoh. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. They were making bricks, among other things. And they were weary of their slavery. They had cried out to God to deliver them, and God had heard their cry. Now he was going to deliver them. The 10th plague was that the death angel would pass over Egypt, and every firstborn in Egypt would die. The firstborn in the palace, the firstborn in every house, the firstborn among the cattle, the firstborn among the sheep and the goats, the firstborn of every living thing, and all of Egypt would perish. And when Moses then in chapter 12 brings the news of the final plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn, to the Hebrew people, he says to them, you're to take a lamb and you're to keep it with you until a specific day that's identified. And then you're to sacrifice that lamb, put its blood on the doorframe of your house. And that night, when the death angel passes over, every firstborn in your family will live because of the blood of the lamb. A lamb has died in the place of the firstborn. And that night, there was great weeping in all of Egypt because of the death throughout the whole land of the firstborn sons, except for among the Hebrew people. And so they left Egypt that night with their sons alive. And at that time, the Lord said, the firstborn are mine. But now he's saying, in place of the firstborn, I will have the Levites. The Levites will belong to me. Like the Levites, we belong to the Lord. God has chosen us in Christ. He has set us apart in Christ. He's redeemed us by his blood, by Jesus' blood, for a destiny not only of salvation, not only that we have our ticket punched for eternity, but for a life of service. For a life of service. And God's summons to us is to throw our lot, mind, heart, body, and soul with him and his work in making Christ known to the ends of the earth. We identify ourselves with Christ and commit ourselves unquestioningly to his work, totally to his work. So that it's said in Hebrews chapter 12 that we, the church, are the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. We belong to the Lord. And because we belong to the Lord, our lives are not our own. They're his. Not just so that we can be saved, but that so we can serve him with our lives. Which brings us to the second comparison of our lives and service with the Levites' life and service. The second reason that we should follow the example of the Levites in serving the Lord is because we too are presented as living sacrifices. Now, the word in the Hebrew text is not that the Levites were served or offered as living sacrifices. In verse 11, verse 13, verse 15, and verse 21, the Levites are identified as a wave offering to the Lord. Now, those of you who have ever been to a major league baseball game and stadium full of people might know what the wave is. I used to go to games in the Metrodome with my kids, and you'd have 20,000 people in a stadium that seated about 70,000, and it was hard to get a wave going. And there weren't enough people. But I can remember at Promise Keepers in the Metrodome with 80,000 men, we had a wave. And we went around the room, men standing section by section, standing up, raising their arms, sitting down. That's not a wave offering. It was fun. In Leviticus, as we've been reading about wave offerings. You know, the priest is to wave the breast of a piece of meat as a peace offering. The precious metals, the gold and silver and bronze that was offered for the ornamentation of the tabernacle was to be lifted up as a wave offering to the Lord. The thigh, the fat, the bread that was offered for the consecration of the priest was to be raised as a wave offering to the Lord. The loaves and lambs of the priest offering were to be raised as a wave offering to the Lord. A sheaf of barley and the oil that was used to purify items in the temple or to purify and cleanse the leper were lifted up as a wave offering to the Lord. The Hebrew word for wave offering means first and most lifting up or elevating. And it's consistent with the practice of Near Eastern religion in the days of God's people, whether it was in Egypt or other places, that when sacrifices were being offered to God, they would be lifted up. And God is saying, I want the Levites offered to me as a wave offering. I want them lifted up. Now, if we take that literally, that's going to be quite interesting to watch Aaron and his brothers, or Aaron and his sons, lifting up every Levite, 20,000 of them, bench press, 20,000 Levites, lift them up to the Lord. Kind of hard as grown men to be lifting them up to the Lord. I can remember being at a child dedication in Ryazan, Russia, and the pastor nearly scared me to death because he took this newborn baby and he lifted it up like this, that quick. And I thought, man, when I'm handed a newborn baby, I'm like, whoa. You could drop this thing. God is saying, when they stand before the tabernacle, Aaron, I want you to present them as an offering to the Lord. A wave offering, they don't necessarily need to be lifted up into the air. Now, maybe they did. The scripture's on silent, but they were a wave offering. They were lifted up as an offering to the Lord. Now, notice there's something different here. Every other wave offering is either a dead piece of meat or a precious piece of metal or oil. Everything else that's offered as a wave offering in Scripture is without life. But here, living men were to be offered as a wave offering, as a living sacrifice before a watching people. They were living sacrifices. Missionary in Africa was visiting one of the churches I served over the years and was preaching on Romans chapter 12 on the Sunday that he was with us, which reads, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. And the missionary shared that on one occasion, he observed that there was a witch doctor who received chickens for his services, but he wanted live chickens. And all the other witch doctors wanted a dead chicken, one who had been sacrificed. And so the missionary asked him, why do all the other witch doctors receive blood sacrifices for their services, and you require a living chicken for your services? And the witch doctor looked at him and simply said, dead chickens don't lay eggs. A live chicken is much more useful to me because it can lay an egg. God wants us like the Levites as living sacrifices. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, Romans 12:1, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now you need to notice here that the word worship is not, in the Greek, it's not doxa. It's not praise offered to God. It's lateria, which means works of service, like the Levite. They were a living sacrifice to the Lord, but what they did at the tabernacle was works of service. They helped the priest in whatever way the priests wanted them to help. When it came time that the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night moved, it was the Levites that all had an assignment for taking down the tabernacle, for packing it up, and then for carrying it to the next location, and then setting it back up. It was work with their hands and with their feet. It required strength of body, which is why you could assist if you were over 50, but those who did the work, we're between 25 and 50. It's kind of like working for UPS. You know, when your body wears out, we want you in your prime. When your body wears out, then you can assist. You can do other things, but you're not going to do the heavy lifting. It was work in service to the Lord. And the work that is done as a living sacrifice, which is our true and proper worship, is works of service, divine service, sacred service. It's recognizing that our hands are not our hands, but God's hands, Christ's hands, to serve him. And because they belong to God and they're set apart for his service, we defile them if we use them for something that's profane, because they are a living sacrifice offered to the Lord for his service. And so we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, as the Levites. Third reason that we should follow the example of the Levites in our service to the Lord. And the third reason is this: because like the Levites, we serve as those who identify with the Lamb. We serve as those who identify with the Lamb. The people of Israel identified themselves with the Levites by laying hands on them. And then the Levites identified themselves with a sacrificial lamb in the same manner. The Levites laid their hands on a lamb that would be sacrificed for their sin. The Levites were set apart by God, not because they were holy, not because they were better looking, not because they were more theologically attuned. The Levites were set apart by God, not because they were holy, but a holy Lord set them apart, and that's why they're holy. They were sinners in needing atonement. And so they laid their hands on the Lamb who would die for their sins. Jacob, the father of Levi, at the time that he is approaching his death, calls his 12 sons to him. And one by one, they stand before him, and he blesses them. Listen to the blessing that he pronounced on Levi with Levi's brother Simeon. And you'll understand that it is not because they are holy that God sets them apart. It's because God is holy and sets them apart that they are holy. In Jacob's final blessing to his sons, he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers, and their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger, and they have hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Wow. It's not because they're more righteous that they're set apart for this work. It's because God is holy, and he sets them apart that they are holy. But they stand in need of atoning sacrifice. And so as they come to do the work of service, they must lay their hands on the Lamb that will die in their place for their sin. Similarly, we must identify ourselves with the person and work of Christ. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was given for the sins of men, who, when he died on the cross, paid the debt of our sin, my sin, your sin. We identify ourselves with Christ, his death, our death, his life, our life. We are not called Christian because we are better than others. We are not called Christ's ones because we are more holy. We are called Christ's ones because we have identified ourselves with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have recognized that Jesus died in our place for our sin, that we might live. And when we enter into the waters of baptism, we publicly identify with the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are immersed with water, but from the standpoint of heaven, we are immersed into the death of Jesus Christ. And when we rise to walk in newness of life, not because we are wet, but because we are united to Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. His death, our death, his life, our life. So I belong to God because he's redeemed me from the slavery to sin by Christ's blood. I have been chosen by God and redeemed and set apart as a living sacrifice to render service to the world on behalf of Christ. And today I invite you, as God's chosen, to serve as those who belong to God, to serve as those who are living sacrifices, to serve as those who are dead to sin and to alive to God in Christ. I'd invite you to take the hymnal that's in the rack before you, and I'm not going to lead you in singing. Fear not. Take the hymnal that's in front of you in the pew and open to page 379. The hymn is "Take My Life and Let It Be." It really is a prayer as much as a song. And I would just like you to take the next minutes to pray these words to the Lord and offer yourself as one who belongs to God, as a living sacrifice set apart for service to the world in name of Christ. Let's take time to be before the Lord in silent prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are before you as your people, and the whole company of your angels witnessing, your spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And our prayer is that we would be set apart unto you because we belong to you. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices that we might render service unto Christ, unto the world on behalf of Christ. Take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our moments and take our days, let them flow with ceaseless praise. We're yours, Lord. And in our final act of worship this morning, offering ourselves to you, we now offer our praise to you, our tithes and our offerings to you, because you alone are worthy of our life, our labor, our service, our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.